Praise the Lord. While they're taking up the offering, I will go into a word of prayer before I go into the sermon. Father, in Jesus' name, just have your way in this sermon. Just let it minister to hearts, Father. I can say nothing that would help anybody, but your words are spirit in their life. And I ask you to just encourage hearts and just strengthen your people, Father, and help us to go forth in a greater and mightier way after we leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon this morning is Why Struggle and Why Fret? And you know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago, and this poem's probably been shared more times than any of the other poems that the Lord ever gave me. And, you know, it's been shared with a lot of people. It's been shared at funerals. It's been shared with sick people. It's been shared with just about everything. But I'm going to share the poem before I start here. And the poem goes like this: Why do you struggle and why do you fret when all that you accomplish is to get upset? When everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. And truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. And as you look on the problems below, I will give you the strength and the wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand and that nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. Okay? And the scripture I'm going to be coming out of today is Psalm 37. And the first few scriptures I'm going to quote there are 1 through 6. And Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And you know, I did some word studies on some of those words. And when it says, "Fret not thyself," it means the word "fret" there means to blaze up or to be in anger, to be angry or to burn, to be displeased, to earnestly fret self, to grieve, to wax hot, to be incensed, to kindle, to be very wroth. And, you know, he's basically saying, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath is what he's really saying. He's saying, don't let things rise up inside of you and keep burning and burning and burning. And that can happen very easily. And the next verse says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And the next one says, "Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You know, I remember David saying one time, "Once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread." And you know, I'm going to tell you what, if you trust in the Lord and you really trust in him, he has promised to supply your needs. And he'll do it in ways that you never could imagine at times. And if you'll just learn to trust him in all situations and all circumstances, you're going to find out that he'll do it in ways that you never would have thought. And I've had the Lord do things for me over the years that I just couldn't have imagined that it would happen, you know. And many, many times, and I've told you all years ago about me having a wreck on a motorcycle and breaking my ankle. And I've shared this story before, and I was laid up for 6 weeks and couldn't work. And I was the source of income in our household. And, you know, all of a sudden, Margaret started getting work with her friend Barb, and they started doing all kinds of work, and we didn't miss a beat. And we had a mutual aid society at work where we paid money into it. It was like a sickness and accident thing, but the employees did it on their own. It wasn't the company that I worked at the time, and I never had drawn any money out of it. And I went and let them know that I was going to be laid up for 6 weeks. I never got a nickel. The guy had run off with the money. Never got a penny. Our landlord came down. We were renting a house then. Our landlord came down, and they were going to raise my rent, you know, and I had lived in this house for a few years when I was renting it at that time. And my rent back then, which this is going to sound awful low to any of you guys today, was $135 a month for renting a whole house. But if you knew what I made back then, that was a lot of money for me. But, you know, they came down and they were planning on raising my rent for $150 to $150 a month. And when they came in and they saw me laid up on the couch, the Lord caused them to have compassion. And they didn't raise my rent. And they actually didn't raise my rent the rest of the time we lived there until I bought the house from them a few years later. So God even works things like that out. And, you know, I had kind of slacked off on going to church back then. And Brother Eddie came to visit me in the hospital, you know. And I kind of got determined that I was going to get back into church and really get, you know, faithful in attending church. Because I was playing softball, and those guys would get me in tournaments on the weekends and all that stuff. And I'd end up getting into that stuff. And I'd kind of pulled away a little bit from church, you know, and knowing what God had called me to do, you know. And here I was letting the world pull me to the side. And I can remember us playing in a championship game and winning our league, you know. And one of the guys on the team lived right across the street from the ballpark. And they invited us all to go over there. And I was thinking, I really didn't want to go. But I went. And I can remember them guys going in there drinking beers and stuff. And I sat out on the porch, and I was sitting there thinking, what in the world am I doing here? What am I doing here? You know, because none of them guys knew the Lord, you know. They weren't Christians. And I'm sitting out there by myself on the porch, and I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here? I don't belong here, you know. And my softball career started waning down after that, you know, because I began to realize, hey, I don't need to be doing this. And, you know, but even in things like that, you know, God supplied all of my needs. And the next day, actually the next day was when I had the motorcycle wreck and broke my ankle. And I was kind of in a situation to where I was really down spiritually, physically, and mentally. And I had actually said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. So guess what? I wrecked my motorcycle right in front of my house the next day. And break my ankle, and I'm laid up for 6 weeks. Well, in the 6 weeks that I was laid up, after that 6 weeks, I felt so refreshed. I mean, it was God's way of, he set me down for 6 weeks, you know. And all I could do was lay on the couch and read the Bible and just kind of get quiet and still and just sit around, you know. And Margaret was out working. We never were behind on one bill. I think I had a motorcycle payment and a couple other things, and I didn't even know I had insurance on some of that stuff, and they made my payments, and we never got behind at all or anything like that. We didn't have a lot of money in the bank because the kids were all real little then, but it just seemed like God just met every need as we went along, you know. And that's the way God is when you trust in the Lord, you know, when you really put your trust in Him. And that next verse says, delight thyself and the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Yes, now, when I looked at that word delight there, it meant to be soft and pliable. To be soft and pliable. That's how you delight yourself in the Lord. Because when you're soft and pliable, that means He can bend you any way He wants to. And He does anyway, even if you ain't soft and pliable. If you're hard and brittle, you're going to go through some breakings. But I'd rather be soft and pliable. I'd rather delight myself in the Lord and let Him bend me however He wants to bend me. And He says, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that word desires literally means the request, the desires, the petitions of your heart. And the next one there is commit thy way. And you know, the word commit there actually means to commit, to remove, to roll away your way. Amen. Roll away your way. Get it out of the way. You know, a lot of times, if we'd only realize it, half the time when we're praying, we're not praying, God, your will be done in this situation. We're telling Him what He should and shouldn't be doing, and we're telling Him how He should do it and how soon He should do it too. And I got news for you. Committing your ways unto the Lord is to remove and roll your way out of the way. Yes,
Get it out of the way. And it says, when you do that, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And it says, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. And you know why he'll bring forth your righteousness, thy righteousness? Because it's no longer going to be your righteousness, because you got yourself out of the way. Your righteousness is now his righteousness, because you're following what he's telling you to do. And the next one there means to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And that word for rest there, I thought, well, I'm going to look that word rest up, and I bet it just means to lay back and take it easy and repose or one. You know what it means? It means to be dumb and silent. And it means to tell the Lord, look, Lord, I'm dumb. I don't understand. And I was telling them that in Sunday school. I tell God that all the time. When I'm reading Scripture, I say, Lord, I don't understand. What are you saying? That's the kind of way I approach the Scripture. And I'm going to tell you what, he opens things up to me that I've never heard before from anybody a lot of times. And I'm going to tell you what, it usually fits so perfectly with the other things he's shown me. It absolutely astounds me. But he wants us to be dumb and to be silent when it comes to him. And it says, rest in the Lord and to wait patiently. Now, I was looking at that word wait there. And a lot of places in Scriptures, that means to bind together, the word wait. This is a different word. It doesn't mean that. It means to dance or to wither in pain. Now, that's a big contrast. To dance or to wither in pain. That's what that word wait there means in the original Hebrew. So, are you going to dance before the Lord? Or are you going to lay back and wither in pain? You have a choice to make there. It's your choice. And I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of bad because I still like soul music pretty much, you know. And I remember it wasn't too long ago, and I can't, you all know when I tell you the name of the song. But this brother had this song out, If I Could Dance With My Father One More Time. And it was Luther Vandross, that's right, that's who it was. And, you know, I was just thinking, if we could just dance with God. You know, a little kid, they'll get and stand on their dad's feet or something. And they'll dance around, you know, especially if your dad likes to dance. I'm not much of a dancer in the natural. But, you know, kids will get and stand on your feet and you'll dance around a little bit and you'll slide around. And they just think that's the funnest thing that there is, you know. But I remember Luther Vandross singing that song, If I Could Just Dance With My Father One More Time. And, you know, God wants you to dance with him. He wants you to rejoice with him. He wants you to be happy with him. He don't want you to wither away and to writhe in pain. He doesn't want you to do that. But you have a choice there. You can do one or the other, because that word means two things. And I mean, they're two contrasting things there. That's not something that goes together, to dance and to wither. I mean, or or to writhe is what it actually says, writhe in pain, you know, writhe in pain.
And that's why you're waiting?
That's that word wait means that. That's right. That's right. That's good. And you know what? I started thinking about David, you know. And, you know, David in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7 through 10. And this is, I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Bible. It said, and they placed the ark of God on a new cart and brought it in from Abinadab's house. Uzzah and Ahio were guiding the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might and singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of, it says Nachor here, but in the King James it says Onan. But Nachor, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark. And the Lord's anger arose against Uzzah, and he struck him dead because he'd laid his hand on the ark. So Uzzah died there in the presence of God. And then in verse 11 it says, and David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out on Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, and is still called that today. David was now afraid of God, and he asked, how can I ever bring the ark of God back into my care? So David did not move the ark into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obedom of Gath. And the ark of God remained there in Obedom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obedom and everything that he owned. And you know, I thought about that, and I'm going to tell you what. First of all, Uzzah's name meant strength. Strength tried to stick its hand out and steady the things of God. You can't steady the things of God with your own strength. You do that, it's going to die. It's going to die. You're going to die if you try to do it too much. You'll kill yourself trying to make, I can't make this church work. Only God can. I can't bring the people in here. Only God can. You know? And if I could kill myself trying to do it, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to. This thing belongs to God. If he wants you in here, you'll come in here. If he don't, then okay. We'll close the doors and shut the place down. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you like it is. But I'm going to tell you what. The problem with this situation was David was trying to do this thing his way. He was trying to do this thing his way. And when he went back and began to read in the book of the law, he saw that the Ark of the Covenant was never to be carried except on the shoulders of the priest. He thought, well, I'm going to get a shiny new cart and put it right on that cart, because he didn't know. It was ignorance. And I'm going to take it in on a new cart. Well, guess what? That ain't the way God wanted it took. So guess what? It didn't get taken down into Jerusalem because of that. And then when David went the next time, and had the priest carry it upon his shoulders, then David went along dancing before the Lord all the way into the city. And buddy, he was. I can just imagine, because Jewish people are so exuberant anyway. I mean, I kind of envy them in a way, because they're not too inhibited about things. Boy, they'll just dance around and jump around, and they get to hollering and hooping and carrying on, praising the Lord. They have a good time. And you know what? He was doing that, and then he took the ark in, and then he placed it in the tabernacle of David. And in the tabernacle, this was before they built the temple, and in the tabernacle of David, it wasn't like the tabernacle in the wilderness. From what I've gathered about the tabernacle of David, you could see in and see the ark, you know. And I got news for you. He says up in the book of Acts that he's going to come again and build the tabernacle of David. And where he's going to build it at is in you and in me, where people can see in and see the presence of God, see the Shekinah glory of God, see the mercy seat, see the blood placed upon the mercy seat, and know that they're forgiven, and that they can sit down with God in a big love seat and just know that he loves them, and that he isn't condemning them, and he isn't going to send them off and burn them all up in hell and everything else. Because I get sick of hearing that stuff out there. I'm telling you the truth. Because I don't believe that's what God's intents and purposes was. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but they might have life and have it more abundantly. And buddy, until we start preaching that more and quit get off that other stuff, the world ain't going to come. Because they feel condemned already. And I'm going to tell you what, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We should never condemn people in the world. We should love them and forgive them and tell them they're forgiven. And I'm going to tell you, when David finally took the ark in right, he stuck it in the tabernacle of David, and it stayed in there until Solomon built the temple. David didn't build the temple. Solomon did. But I'm going to tell you what, David was a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He was a type of that because David's name means beloved or love. And it was the love of God that was going to bring the presence of God where people could see it. And it was the love of God who was going to prepare everything to build the temple of God. And I'm going to tell you what, when Solomon came forth, Solomon built the temple in the Old Testament. But it said in Solomon's day, David had prepared the things for the building of the temple. And they said that there literally was, if you read it in some translations, there was dumps around the city where they had silver piled up, brass piled up, gold piled up. And they basically tell you, such as never been before. I mean, you know, David had supplied everything that was needed, basically, to build the temple. And I want you to know, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, I'm the original temple, I'm the chief cornerstone. Know you not that you're the temple of God? And I'm going to tell you something else. In the Old Testament, it says, I'll bring forth my servant, the branch, and he'll build again the temple. Hello, branch. Hello, branch. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the what? You're the branches. Hello, branch. Guess what? When you come together, you're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You are the temple of God. You're all of these things that the Scripture's describing here. And I'm going to tell you, that was all type and shadow of what David was doing there. But David danced with all of his might before the Lord. And like I say in that verse 4, we rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Now we just went up there where he talked about us committing our way unto him, or us rolling away our way that we might receive his way. And we need to not fret when we see somebody seem like they're prospering in their way, because guess what? Their way ain't going to work very long. It's going to be God's way or no way. And I got news for you. It's going to come forth that way. But we have a choice whether we want to dance before the Lord or we want to writhe away in pain. And you know, I'll choose to dance every time, even though I'm not much of a dancer in the natural. I keep telling Mark, why don't you teach me how to dance? Mark used to win dance contests when she was real young. I said, why don't you teach me how to dance? Well, she always makes some excuse. Maybe I've danced with her and stepped on her foot or something. I don't know. But, you know, but I'm not much of a dancer. But anyway, she tells me, well, I heard when you had other girlfriends, you used to dance with them. I said, well, I don't know about that. Maybe it's because she told me she won dance contests. I don't want to dance with her that much, but I don't know. I'm afraid she'll show me up too bad or something. I don't know. But anyway, you know, in verse 8, he says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know, when he says cease from anger, like I told you before, up in James it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, when we find ourselves getting angry or getting irritated, we need to start saying, Lord, I'm going to roll this away to you. I'm going to give it to you. I want it out of me. I don't want it here. You know, I want to be soft. I want to be pliable. You know, I want to be dumb. I want to be silent before you and let you speak to me. You know, a lot of times when we go and pray, we spend so much time talking to God that we don't spend any time listening. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll be surprised what you'll hear if you'll listen. You'll be surprised. And you won't always hear it right then. But a little bit down the road, something will pop up inside of you and you'll think, oh, God, I didn't even know I knew that.
And you'll find something coming out of your mouth where he spoke something down inside of you, and you'll say, wow, I didn't even know I knew that. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to get quiet and still before him. You know, we need to learn to rest in him, to be dumb, to be silent. We need to dance instead of writhe in pain, you know. Praise God. Next verse there says, For evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Different word for wait there. Different word. It's not the same word in Hebrew. Word there is to bind together, to twist. They that are really bound together with the Lord. Two different words. A lot of times the translators didn't know how to handle some of this stuff, so they put the word that they thought worked with what they were coming up with. But I'm going to tell you what, it didn't always work the way God wanted it to work. Because remember what the word patiently wait or wait patiently meant up there? It meant to dance or to writhe in pain. Down here it means to be bound together. Praise God. And I'll read you the rest of it. It means collectively, to expect, to gather together, to look patiently, to tarry, to wait for or wait upon. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and he shall not be. And verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight himself in the abundance of peace. And that word delight there again is to be soft and pliable. But the meek shall be soft and pliable, and they're going to have an abundance of peace. And when you get soft and pliable in the Lord, look out. The peace is going to flood in on you. And you're going to find exactly what he wants you to do, and you're going to know how he wants you to do it, and you're going to know where he wants you to do it, because he'll reveal all that to you when you're soft and pliable. You know, years ago, you know, the Lord showed me those scriptures back in Jeremiah, and I shared the scripture with you last week about, you know, before he was formed in his mother's womb, that he called him to be a prophet. But he also sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And he said, now watch. And Jeremiah stood there and watched. And God shows you stuff visibly if you'll get to where you watch him a lot of times. And he used to just speak stuff to me. And a lot of times he'll show me stuff in the natural. And I mean, I'll see it, and then he'll show me the spiritual principle of it. And anyway, he told Jeremiah, he said, now just watch. And he saw the water and the potter, and he had this pot up there, and he's spinning on his wheel, and he's making this vessel, and all of a sudden, something collapses on it. And he says to him, am not I the potter, and Israel is the clay? And you know, you're the clay; he's the potter. And I'm going to tell you what, he can make you a vessel of honor; he can make you a vessel of dishonor. He can make anything he wants. But I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever tried to work with clay, if you don't keep it wet and moist, in other words, keep it full of the water, you can't work it. It won't work. If it gets hard, you're going to have to chisel it. You're not going to be able to manipulate it with your hands. And you know, I'm going to share one more poem with you that goes along with that. And I've shared this before, and most of you have heard it. The Lord gave me this poem. The processing of the Lord continues each day as he's working mud into clay. The clay he is forming with his right hand to make it a vessel that'll fit into his plan. But after he's placed it upon the wheel and he's twisted and turned and spun with his zeal, and the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see, if you fill it with water, it no longer will be. For the water will cause it to sag and to fall, for the strength of the vessel's not there after all. Master must lift it with both of his hands to process it further that it might meet his demands. And into the fiery furnace it must go to be tested and tried. His will he will show was to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity. For the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained by the strength of its walls.
And I got news for you, folks. You are the vessel. You are the vessel. As long as you stay soft and pliable, He'll form you into something beautiful. But don't be surprised when later on He picks you up with the right hand and the left hand, and the left hand talks about the corrective hand. The right hand, at His right hand are pleasures evermore. He'll pick you up with the pleasure and a little correction at the same time, and He'll slip you right into the furnace. And buddy, when He slips you into the furnace, it gets mighty hot in there. But what He does there is He begins to burn out the impart nature. He doesn't really take out the clay. He takes out the water. And sometimes when you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and you think, Lord, I just don't feel Your presence as much as I did before. And it seems like I'm having a lot of trials and tribulations. It seems like I'm in the fire all the time. Guess what? He's burning some of that water out. And you know why He's burning it out? You know what happened at the marriage feast of Cana? I think I mentioned this to you last week too. They brought forth six water pots. Six is a number for man. Brought forth six water pots. And Mary told the disciples, told Jesus first, she says, they have no wine. They're out of wine. And Jesus said, woman, what's that to me? And then Mary said, whatever He tells you to do, do it quickly. And mom, a lot of times, she knows. And they brought forth six water pots and said, fill them to the brim. And they filled them all the way to the brim. And once they were filled to the brim, dip out and take it to the master of the feast. And they did that. And when they did, the master of the feast said, oh, this is the best wine. You've saved the best for last. And I got news for you. When He's burned all the end part out of you, and you realize you're just the vessel and He's the glory and it's all about Him and it's not about you, and it ain't about what how you want to do things and how you think it should go. It's all about, Lord, whatever You want. Here I am. Here I am. Turn up the fire if it's necessary, Lord. Burn the impurities out of me. Whatever You got to do. And fill me with Your word. Fill me to the brim with Your word. And then once that happens, people will be able to dip out of me and be able to drink the new wine, the best wine. The wine that the world out there is looking for. They're looking for that wine. They're trying to find a good time all the time. And they don't realize that the joy of the Lord is the best time that they could ever have. They can't, you know, Bob sitting back there, his brother-in-law used to work with me years ago. And that brother-in-law had a tendency that he kind of, well, he had a problem with alcohol and he had a problem with drugs. And he worked for me for years, and he come by one day and he asked me what we was doing back in the back at this company we used to work at. And we were having Bible studies, and he says, what do you guys do back there anyway? And I said, Bible study. I said, you're welcome to come back. And he was working night shift because I'd taught him how to run an ID grinder, and he was working for me in my department, but he was working night shift. And I could tell he was getting in my Bible. Because I don't bend my pages or anything. Even my old Bibles don't have. I can't stand a Bible bent, crumpled up pages. Ah, it drives me crazy. But anyway, I could tell he was getting in my Bible and reading it. And then he come in one day and he told me, he says, you know what happened to me last night? I said, what? He said, I was driving down the road going home and I ran out of gas. And he ran out of gas right down where there used to almost be a gas station on River Road down in Cincinnati. And he said, I got out, and he said, I didn't have no money, and the gas station was closed. And he said, I thought, what am I going to do? And he said, I prayed and said, Lord, if You're really real, please show me somehow. And he said, I walked around to the front of my car, and he said, I don't know why I did it. He said, I lifted up the hood, and he said, there was a quarter laying under my car right where I was sitting. He said, there was a phone booth over there. That was for cell phones. That's a long time ago. He said, I picked up that quarter and went and called my wife. And she come and got me some gas and come and got me. And he said, and you know, he said, then he went away on a retreat, a Catholic retreat. And then he started coming back to our Bible studies. And he was asking me, Oscar, how do you find out some of the things that you find out? Because, I mean, we were talking back here. And I told him, I said, well, I look a lot of things up in Strong's Concordance because it has Greek and Hebrew dictionaries, and it's all numbered. and all the words that are in there. It's the strong box. That's what it is. Strong is exhaustive. It's a strong box. You all should have a strong box. I'm going to tell you, you should. Because a lot of the words that are in the Bible have multiple meanings. And a lot of times it's way more than what's just translated as word for word. And it's greater. But anyway, I came in after I showed them how to use the Strong's Concordance. And I showed them all how to use it. And I came in, I think it was on a Monday. His machine was right across from my desk he was working days in. And he's smiling from ear to ear. And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, you know, I'm kind of thinking, what's he doing? What's going on over there? So finally I walked over to him and I says, Greg, I says, what are you smiling about for? He said, man, he said, if anybody had told me that on a Saturday night I'd be sitting at home with my Bible and one of them Strong's Concordances and looking up words in God's Word and everything, he said, and having a really good time, he said, I never would have believed it. And I'm telling you what, he was learning what a really good time was because he was spending time with God and spending time in God's Word. And this is a guy that his whole life at that point back then was all about drinking and taking drugs and all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you what, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of heart. Keep yourself soft and pliable. Roll your way over to him. Quit trying to do everything your way. Quit trying to make everything happen the way you think it should happen. Start telling him, Lord, what do you want? Lord, I submit this thing to you. And watch and see if things don't turn completely around different than what you thought. Last scripture I'm going to share with you is Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you what, you can take that to the bank. That dollar bill you got in your pocket, you might take that to the bank someday and they might tell you, that's a worthless piece of paper. But this word right here, you can take that to the bank. My God shall apply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And I'm going to tell you what, he's able to increase the meal barrel. He's able to increase the oil barrel. He's able to increase, he's able to make food miraculously appear in your pantry or have somebody come and give you food or whatever it is if you need it. He's able to do any of those things. And I'm telling you, so even your sister Lily talked about one time these people coming over in Africa. She was at the mission house. She said these people came over in Africa and wanted food and said, we just had just a little bit. And she said, we brought them in and fed them, gave them the food. We didn't have nothing else. Said the next day, all of a sudden, somebody shows up with a bunch of food, giving us a whole bunch of food. And that's the way God is. You can't outgive God. You can't. Well, if you all stand, we'll close. That's all I had to share with you today. Praise God. Fret not thyself. Don't get all hot and shook up and burned up. And you know what? I'm guilty of it as the same as the rest of you at times. I'm telling you what. Every time I get that way, the Lord brings me back to that poem he gave me. Why do you struggle? Why do you fret? When all you accomplish is to get upset. You know? And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, okay. You don't have to hit me with it. I know it. You know. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your words, for they are spirit and life. I ask you, Father, to help us all be soft and pliable, to commit our way unto you. Let's roll our way away, that we might receive your way. For your ways are the ways of life, and our ways are usually the ways of death, because we're going to go in opposite direction than what your way is. And you said when a man's ways please the Lord, you'll even cause your enemies to be at peace with you. And Lord, I'm afraid that's what's wrong with America today. Our ways are not pleasing you, and we've got some enemies out there. And Lord, just help us all to move into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you all praise and all glory, and I thank you. For you've already accomplished all these things on Calvary. It was done when you said it's finished, because you had finished it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody'd like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Be glad to talk with you or whatever. God bless you.